Everyone, and welcome to Minute 139 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today, on the 1st of May, is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back for this new month.
Thank you for bringing me back. It's my pleasure being here.
Always a pleasure. Always fun. Just so anyone who's listening, you know, you might have noticed that yesterday there was no movie recommendation for Heather, but offline I recommended something to her.
Yeah.
She's got one.
I've got a
best years of her life.
I'm gonna be busy for like a whole month. It's gonna be great.
Cool. All right. So minute 139 begins with Upham making a run for it and ends with a kill shot. I guess we can be succinct with that.
Yes. Yes, we can.
Yeah. You know, not that difficult to be succinct when we're getting to this. So we ended things yesterday with the guys all in the middle of this intense battle, and Upham was still cowering on the side and then decides to get up and starts running, and in this minute, that's what he's doing. He's just running, and he runs towards where Miller, Ryman, and Ryan are, and they're running in the opposite direction. And Miller screams, "Cover up him! Cover! Cover!" And at this point, Upham turns around and runs back with them. You know, so he's playing a little game of, Monkey in the Middle. That's the game.
Yes. Red Rover would be very bad in this situation.
Yeah, Red Rover would be very bad. That is true. Oh, come on. You can always play Red Rover.
You can. You just might not necessarily survive it. That's all. And any time when they're running in this particular sequence, It's stressful because you know that it only takes one bullet and they're done. They're not covered in armor. They've got their helmet because the guys on the ground apparently are continuing to wear their helmets. But you watch these little explosions, bullets kicking up dirt and stuff while they're running away. And it's not like you see typically in movies where they're right at their feet. But there's stray bullets everywhere and all it takes is one to kill someone. That's it.
That's right.
So even these passing moments, like that's the thing about this part of the movie. Every single sequence, every single part is so stressful. It's so stressful because any moment you can die. Any.
But I think that's part of the idea, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, they want us to feel what these characters are feeling. It comes down to they want us to they want to put us in their boots, basically, so that we are there on the ground with them, watching everything as it's happening and feeling the emotions that they are possibly feeling at that very moment also, which is, again, why this movie is so amazing, because of that very fact, that anyone watching this will say, wow, I feel like I'm right there.
Yes. Yes. And then how you feel about it, I guess, depends on the type of person that you are. But there's no way to avoid that connection unless you have absolutely no empathy in your body whatsoever.
Correct. And as many movies that have been made, you know, in this movie, in this similar vein, nothing comes quite close to being as powerful as this movie is when it comes to that.
I agree. I think probably the closest one, and I think we talked about it on the last episode briefly, was Black Hawk Down. And it's as brilliant and amazing and as incredible as it is, it's still not the same as this. It's correct. Not there. Yeah.
Right, because Black Hawk Down, you feel a little distant from everything that's going on. Here, you feel like you're right there.
Yeah, you
Again,
feel like you're
Black
there with
Down,
them
you
here.
Do feel,
yeah.
I'm sorry, in Black Hawk Down, you do feel that everything going around. I mean, I still remember watching in the theater and that theater, shaking during Black Hawk Down, because of the intense sound and everything like that.
But you still felt like somewhat of an observer in that situation. Correct. You felt more like, I felt more like a tag along. And I agree with you too. I had a visceral response to that movie. And I think I went back and I saw it in the theater the day after I saw it too, because it was so bloody good. But it's not, it's still not the same as this. You feel like you said, you're feeling everything they're feeling. You feel like you're there with them to some, as much as you possibly can anyway in this situation. And I don't think, and I think you're right too, I don't think there's another movie that does it. Certainly not like this.
Right. There are a lot I've tried, but haven't succeeded.
Nope.
And then after Upham runs behind everyone, the shot changes again, and we're back yesterday at the end of the minute. We saw soldiers walking by the two Americans that are crawling on the ground, and they just shoot them.
Yep.
They just execute them right on the spot right there.
Yep. Even though he's, and you see him too, he's putting his hands up in surrender, but there is no surrender here.
No, none whatsoever. One of them is trying to surrender, and the other one is in pain.
Yep.
You know, screaming in pain, and they just shoot him.
Yep.
You know, again, we don't know who these characters are. You know, these are just random characters, but we now know that there are two more, U.S. soldiers that were killed in this particular space. So now we are up like to eight. That's right. Now we're up to eight. Eight of these men that are there. And then the shot changes, and we once again see Miller running with Ryan behind him, and Ryben is behind him also, and a whole bunch of others start getting closer. And the three of them jump into a ditch that's over there, and we see Upham run to the side of the building, and then we see an explosion. Now, if you pay close attention here, during this explosion, you actually see another soldier go flying through the window.
Yes.
It goes into the window.
Yep. Goes right into the window.
Again, I never noticed this before.
Nope.
This is something that only when you watch it this way do you notice, because there's also a lot of smoke and dust that's going around that explosion. I actually had to pause it and scrub back and forth just to be sure that there actually was a guy who went flying there.
Well, I agree.
And there is.
And at that sequence too, there's someone, I'm not sure who it is, but they run in front of it too. So the fact that that Spielberg felt compelled to still make that happen, even though I'm with you, probably most people aren't going to notice that or see it. It's still there. He still put it in there.
Correct. Now, the guy who's running in front, we see him duck down.
Yes.
It doesn't look like he's been killed.
No.
You don't know.
No. But your eyes, if you're watching this the first time through or even the second or third, your eyes are going to go on him or to the dudes in the foxhole there. There's not going to be eyes on the explosion and the shadowed body that's going through the window. And this
correct.
Is,
I mean, that's.
It's
crazy. That's a completely, it's the stormtrooper effect.
Yes.
You know the.
Yes.
You know, for anyone who doesn't know what we're referring to, is in the original Star Wars, there is the scene where the main characters are all in the trash compactor, and R2 and C-3PO are in the control room, and the door finally opens. And there's a squad of stormtroopers that enter the room. And I think the third guy, if I remember correctly, actually bumps his head. And you hear the clanking sound, but you only notice it if you're paying attention, because normally you don't look at the third guy. You look at the first guy.
No.
You know, and once you – and that's something you can never unsee.
Nope. And every time you watch it after that, you wait for it.
And you laugh every single time.
Yep.
Because you know that that's what's going to happen.
Yep. And it makes you love the movie a little bit more.
That's right.
Because you're in on that joke.
Now, do you know? Now, the thing that I find hilarious about this guy flying through the window is, do you know that there is a term in the English language for what happens to this guy?
No, but I would love to learn.
Okay. So it's one of my favorite English words, and I've mentioned this before. I don't think it was in this season. I think it was in last season, but I could be wrong. So the word defenestrate means to the act of dying by being thrown through a window.
There's an actual term for it.
Yes, there
It's
is.
happened enough that they created a term for it. I love words. That's amazing.
So like I said, it is my favorite word in the English language, defenestrate.
Going to use this. Thank you so much.
Yes,
And I'll feel
it's
slightly
the
superior when I do.
That's right. To throw or push someone out of a window or to die by defenestration. That's what it comes down to. So, wait a second. That means that Hans Gruber died by defenestration.
He certainly does. It doesn't have the same effect. No, it does. I like it.
And here we see another guy who dies by defenestration.
I'm gonna start paying attention to this. This is gonna be one of those things that I'm watching movies now, and whenever I see somebody die this way, I'm going to think of it, and I'm gonna have to tell you.
Please do. Please do.
You'll be getting my movie reviews and updates, and now you're going to get my defenestration updates.
Heather, I always love hearing from
Fantastic.
you're the keeper of my old hometown, so why not?
I know. It's exactly the same. So you're not missing anything unless you're missing
That I assume.
it.
But it's still nice to be nostalgic about it, you know.
It is.
I remember all the movie theaters I used to watch movies.
Some of them are still around. There's a few old ones.
I'm assuming most of the ones that I used to go to are no longer there.
Yeah, there's only in this area, there's really only one, and they've worked really hard to keep that one open. Otherwise, most of them
Well,
have
again,
gone.
I lived a little bit north of where you were
Yeah.
because I was
Yeah,
about
you're
10 miles.
Southfield, yeah.
You know, that's right, Southfield. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was the Americana and the Americana West, and there was the town, and there was the Berkeley Theater. I remember the Berkeley Theater. We used to go there for the dollar shows. I saw Return of the Jedi so many times in that dollar theater.
That's awesome. We still have the Redford Theater here. That one's still
I
open.
don't remember that one.
That's
Okay.
and we have the State Wing that's still open, but the Fordtel, Quivadas, and all of those have all long since been closed down, unfortunately. But the State Wing they've kept open, and they still do all sorts of really cool special showings. They still do the Rocky Horror at least once every 2 years at Fordtel, but
Oh, wow.
they do lots of old movies that aren't new out there. Cool.
Well, if they show Saving Private Ryan, go watch it again.
I will, but I would really like to see that one in the theater with fantastic screens and sound. It is meant to be seen that way. I would definitely want to see
That is
it
true.
on one of the big spectacular. Oh, I would love going to see that on an IMAX.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Yeah. I know I just went in the total opposite direction, but I would love to see this movie on IMAX.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. Okay, so we can rack up another one of the soldiers that we now know is there defending. You know, so we're up to nine that we're aware of, besides the group that we already know.
Yes.
You know, nine extra. At this point, we see again a bird's eye view, and we see the shot from above, where Parker is shooting into everyone because he's the one with the 30 caliber, and he's just obliterating a whole bunch of them along the way.
Yep. He's saving the day, which is why he needs ammo. So he can
Yeah,
continue
and
saving the
then
day.
he screams, "I'm out of 30 caliber." So he's got nothing else that he can really do at this point. And you see that he just pulls the gun away also,
Yep.
because there's nothing he can do. And then we see the little half track start maneuvering towards them. And then we see Jackson take a deep breath, and he actually starts to pray. And he says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust." Now, do you have any idea what this prayer is or where it's from? Did you
No,
look it up?
I do not, and I did not.
So this is actually a verse. These are a few verses from the Bible, It's from Psalm 144 that King David put together, and you know, it's all about you know, giving me strength when I'm in the middle of battle.
Yeah.
So it's you know, again, it tells just this. Is, I think the third time that Jackson is praying before he's shooting anyone. It says so much about this character, the way that they built him. You know, they built him up to he's this you know, country bumpkin.
Yep.
But he's a very religious man. You know, we've seen him, you know, kiss his cross numerous times. He's quoting the Bible all the time right before he's getting ready to shoot anybody. You know, so it says a lot about this character. You know, that you know, he believes in so much, but is also there to, you know, to fight evil.
Yes.
I guess that's the way you can probably look at it, that he looks at this this situation. It's very, very interesting.
I think this is the first time that I was exposed to Barry Pepper too. At least where I knew exactly who he was, and it wasn't just he's a guy in this thing, but it's the first time that I can remember acknowledging who Barry Pepper was. He was so, and everybody really was, but he was so good in this. And it's part of the reason why I wanted this little block here was obviously it's an incredible part of the movie, but I think he's part of the reason that it is. And I feel like in this moment, and when he does say those lines, I feel the impending sense of doom. And I wonder if his character.
Well, again, he said it before. He's prayed before.
Yeah.
So why, you know, and he made it through both of those times.
It feels different here. And I don't know why, but does. Maybe it's because, you know, we do we see what's happening, we know more. Maybe it's because when we look out of the clock tower perch here, we can see the turret that's about to turn up in his direction, so we know it. And the thing is, he still continues to fight even though that's what he's looking at right now. I mean, right now I'm looking over his shoulder and I see that turret that could be his death. Will be his death, won't be his death. And
well, he's also very confident in himself, yes. And in his shooting ability.
Yes, yes. But that's the thing about this, and that's the thing about war, and that's the thing about the circumstances. You could be the greatest at what you do, and you can still die.
That's right.
So he can be the greatest sniper that ever was, and he can still die in that tower. And correct. Every time he pokes his head out, that's a chance he's taking. And
correct.
And that dichotomy, like you said too, he prays all the time, yes, but it does. It feels like there's something different about this moment. This feels like there's a build to this moment that brings me here. And I remember feeling that the first time I watched it. I was like, no, no. I kept saying no. I remember very clearly having that.
Well, also, you know that the movie you also know that we're in the final throes of the movie.
Yep.
So
yep.
So, you know, this is when things will happen.
But you wonder, right? Like, do these guys, are they in the moment, or do they get that sense of it's coming too? I mean, not all of them are. If you're the guy who's just running and you get shot running because you're taking that chance, you might not think you're going to get it then, and you're not thinking about it then. But him, particularly being a sniper, he has some time to sit there and consider his situation and consider where he is. And also, he has the best view. He can see everything that's happening. He knows more of what's going on than anybody else. He knows what their chances are, probably strategically, better than most of them on the ground right now because he has the best position. I don't know. I just feel like that there's something here. And maybe it is just me, but I always get caught in this moment right here every time I watch.
Okay. Understood completely. And what's really cool is that you know, he's taking his time, and he first shoots one of the guys in the half track, and then, you know, he shoots a guy who's running, and they give us once again the you know, the scope sight, you know, with the big plus across the screen as he's hitting you know, these various characters. And he's taking his time, you know, each time, reloading, putting another bullet into the chamber. He takes out three or four of the Germans that are just running by.
Yep.
Until towards the end, we see that he's getting a little frustrated because he actually misses one.
Yep. And he gets him on his second shot, but he doesn't like that.
He gets him on the second shot. That's right. But did you hear what he said right before he gets him on the second shot?
No, what did he say?
He says, "Come here, baby."
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good.
Oh. And considering the fact that he just finished praying, you know, a little interesting way to continue that.
Like he said, though, he's out there and he's fighting evil. This is maybe not what he wants to do, but also, you know, when your gift is death, I don't know how you can, especially if you're a religious person, I'm not sure how you contend with that. I'm not, so I can't imagine. It definitely has to be conflicting at times.
Right. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he takes that second shot and hits the guy right in the neck.
Oh yeah, we get a bloody shot on that one. It's pretty gruesome.
Blood all over the hands. So maybe they're trying to fake us out and make us think that, you know, everything is okay by him now.
You know, also too, this particular moment, I think, and I know I keep comparing it to other movies, but I think it's important too, so we can acknowledge why it does stand apart from other films in this genre. That moment when he shot the soldier in the neck and you see the blood and all of that, if that was in another movie, it would have been a moment where the crowd cheered. It was like, yeah. And this one, I don't feel that, but I feel relief. Like, okay, that's one less bad guy that can kill them. Okay, that's one less bad guy. That's the feeling. You get relief, and it's so brief. You only get to have it for like a second before there's the next thing that you have to face and deal with. So again, it's similar perspectives, but it's told so differently that you have a different emotional response to it.
Right. I completely agree with you on that. It's great. All right. And that's how this minute ends, as, you know, this guy grabs his neck, trying to stop the blood from splurting all over the place. You have anything else you want to say about this minute, Heather?
Nope. I think we covered this one pretty well. It's super intense. It's a good one.
Okay, great. So every Thursday we have a segment that's a game. We're going to play a game. Shall we play a game?
We shall play a game.
So the game is called Say What Thursday. Say what? Say what again? Dare you. I double dare you.
Thank you for bringing the Tarantino in for me.
You're very welcome. So the idea here of this game is there are lots and lots of famous actors in this movie. Some before they were famous, some after they were famous. Doesn't really make a difference. So this game is a simple game. I'm going to give you a quote from a movie, and I'm going to tell you what year the movie is, and you have to tell me who the actor is who says it and what movie it is.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm going to crash
now,
and burn.
Now,
I'm just warning you ahead of time.
Okay. Now, because there are so many actors here, I've decided to narrow it down to just three actors each week. Okay. So your three actors that it could be, and again, it's possible that I don't use all of them within the five quotes that I'm giving you.
Okay.
Okay, but your choices are, is either going to be Matt Damon, Tom Sizemore, or Barry Pepper.
Okay, I feel all right about this. I'm not as well versed with Barry Pepper films, but I feel better about it. Thank you. Thank you for giving me multiple choice.
Okay.
All right, I could do it.
Okay, so the first one is from a movie from the year 2000. And the quote is, "Have you ever seen one? Have you? Has anyone ever seen one? A demon, a monster, a beast." Yeah.
2000. I'm going to go with Barry Pepper.
And you would be correct.
Yes! What was it? I was the guess, obviously.
Now you have to guess what movie it is.
Oh, no! I have no idea.
Okay, I will give you a hint. The main actor in this movie is John Travolta.
Michael?
In 2000. Michael came out in 96.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, the quote you got right is from Barry Pepper.
I know. I'm trying to think, and my brain's going in the pooper. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've got nothing. I'm sorry.
Okay. It is a movie that is known for being one of the worst movies ever made.
Face Off. Broken Arrow.
95? 96?
I know. I know. I'm just throwing spaghetti at the wall right now. No, no, I can't. Wait a minute. I can't think of the damn name of it. It's the one where Travolta's a bad guy in it, right? Swordfish.
Nope. That was 2001.
Okay, but I'm getting closer. Oh, there was such a, Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth. Perfect. There you go.
They took me a little while to zero in on it.
All right. Okay. The next one is a movie from 1993. I can't get a decent meal, I can't get a smoke, and mostly, I can't get laid. You turned me into a goddamn monk.
Tom Sizemore.
Okay, very good. In what movie? 1993.
I know. And I'm drawing a blank. Though the quote sounds very familiar and I could hear him saying it. I don't know. Yep, I've got nothing.
All right, Robert Downey Jr. is in this movie. Kira Sedgwick is in this movie. Elizabeth Shue is in this movie.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to kick myself. I know what this is, except I can't think of the darn name.
Well, tell me what it's about.
Hold on. Let me try and see if I can get there.
David Paymer's in this movie.
Oh,
Charles Grodin.
I know this movie and I can't think of it. I'm going to
Alfre Woodard.
Is it? It's not Heart and Souls. It is Heart and Souls. I was going, wait a minute, this is Heart and Souls. I just brought this up the last episode. and I thought I was just thinking of it because I was thinking of it before. Oh my goodness. That's really funny.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Let's move on to the next one. Okay. It's a movie from 2002. And the quote is, some had families waiting. For others, their only family would be the men they bled beside. There were no bands, no flags, no honor guard to welcome them home. They went to war because their country ordered them to. But in the end, they fought not for their country or their flag. They fought for each other.
2002?
Yes.
Is this Black Hawk Down? And Tom Sizemore?
Nope.
Greg.
Black Hawk Down also came out in 2001, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to be just in the vicinity when it comes to years right now. It's all foggy to me. All right. Well, I was thinking that, and I was close at least in the timeline. Is it Matt Damon then? Or was it Tom Sizemore?
Nope. It's not Matt Damon either.
Then it's Barry Pepper?
Yes, it is.
I'm not going to get one of these right.
Okay. The movie also stars Sam Elliott, Kerry Russell.
This is when
Ryan Hurst, Greg Kinnear.
I don't even know if I've seen it.
Madeline Stowe.
I love Madeline Stowe. I love Sam Elliott too. I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Mel Gibson.
Crashing.
It was directed. It was directed by Randall Wallace. It's a movie called We Were Soldiers.
Oh, okay. I've seen it, but I haven't seen it since it came out. And I was working at Blockbuster at the time. Yep, I was still working at Blockbuster.
It is such an amazing film.
It was good. It was good. I just haven't watched it since then. Yeah. Okay, that was a good one. I'm not mad at myself for not pulling that, though. Not mad at myself. Okay. The Heart and Souls one, I'm going to be kicking myself for a week about that.
All right. Understandable. Okay. The next one is a movie from 1994. We've had this day from the beginning, huh, Mickey? Now slide the shotgun over here. Put your hands on your head and your head against the floor.
Okay. I think that's Tom Sizemore.
Yes, it is.
He frustrates me.
1994.
In 94, he's been in so many bloody movies and he's great. I know. This one sounds really familiar, and I can hear his voice in my head too, but I don't know what it is.
Think of the name used in this quote. We've had this day from the beginning, huh, Mickey? Now slide the shotgun over here. Put your hands on your head and your head against the floor.
what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Mickey, think but of a I keep, movie, keep going.
Think of a movie that you know that has a main character named Mickey from 1994 that stars Tom Sizemore in a supporting role.
See, in a supporting role, too. So I don't know. All right, hold on.
Well, Tom Sizemore was never, he was never a lead.
No, no, he's not. He's not. And that's, frig. Is it an action movie? Can I ask?
I don't know if I would classify it as an action movie.
Crime or crime?
It is a crime movie, yes.
Okay.
It is listed on IMDb as a crime romance.
I don't know.
I know you've seen this movie.
Wait a minute. Crime romance?
Yes.
True romance.
No, that was 93.
Gosh darn it. Okay.
But you're in the right vicinity. You're in the right vicinity. You're going in the right direction.
Okay. Wait a minute. Natural Born Killers.
Yes.
Ah! Okay. Sorry. I'm a little more excited about getting that wrong than I should be.
Okay. And the final one, all right, yes, is from 1995. You put that thing on the 11 o'clock news, and by midnight, you'll have the biggest riot in history. You'll see the smoke from Canada.
See the smoke from Canada. Sizemore again?
Yes, it is. Very good.
Okay, 95. What was he doing in 95? He was doing crime movies. He was doing lots of crime movies around that time.
That is correct. This is a crime
Pete,
drama.
Pete!
No.
Gosh darn it!
You got the right year. You did get the right year, but that's not what it is.
I don't know. I thought it was good with Heat. I don't know. It's a crime movie, 95. Guys,
also stars Juliette Lewis. Angela Bassett. Michael Wincott. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, D'Onofrio?
D'Onofrio. Glenn Plummer.
Wait a minute. Is Denzel in this?
No.
That's good, because I couldn't think of the darn movie that I'm thinking of with him. Okay, I don't know. I'm lost on this
Nikki
one.
Cat. Ralph Fiennes.
What the heck is it? I have no idea.
It's written by James Cameron.
It was written by Cameron?
Written by Cameron. Not directed by him. Written by him.
This is 95?
It was directed by his wife at the time, Catherine Bigelow.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I've never seen it. And I can't think of the name right now. But I remember putting it away at the movie, at the video store all the time. I remember the cover box. Angela Bassett is on the cover box.
Yes, she is.
But I don't remember anything else.
It's called Strange Days.
Darn it. Okay. All right. That one I didn't know. That one I'm okay with.
Okay.
Well, darn. Thank you for multiple choice, because otherwise it would have been really bad. Really, really bad.
All right.
And then well, I'm starting for, to doubt myself. Being so I'm like, why do they all sound like Tom Sizemore to me?
That's right. I was going to give you 5 Sizemores, but I was like, I need to give you something else there along the way.
That's fine, because you know what? When it's just like multiple choice. If I get the same one too many times in a row, I'm going to pick something else just because I don't believe it's going to continue to be that many.
That's right. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it's not a smart way to do standardized tests, but.
Probably not. Probably. C. University Summer School?
Yes!
Mark Harmon?
Oh, C. See, that movie is so great. I love that movie so much. That's a movie that I can watch nonstop and never ever get tired of. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great. It doesn't translate too well to the PC world that we live in today, but
no.
But it's fun.
No, I loved that when I was a kid. Chainsaw That's Dave.
Right. That's right.
The student that was a stripper.
That's it. And Courtney Thorne-Smith, who was just always dreaming about the beach.
There's a lot of actors that have small roles in that you see all over the place later.
That's right.
Kirstie Alley, Steve Carell's in it.
That's right. Steve, ah, that's right. Steve Carell's in it. I forgot
Yeah,
about that. Yeah,
he's
you're
the
right.
principal. He's the jerk.
Right. That's right. That's right. No, he's not the principal. I think he's another teacher.
Is he another teacher? I thought he was a principal.
Yeah,
All
because
right.
I think the principal, I thought the principal was Carl Reiner.
Yep. I think you're right.
Think
Yeah.
so. Yeah.
Very good.
All right. So, Heather, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
You can find me at heatherbaxendale.com. You can find my books there. They are all there for sale. If you would like to purchase them, I would appreciate it if you did. Let me know if you do and tell me what you think. And you can find all of my podcasting stuff there along with my social media if you'd like to follow me.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Heather, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to find out what happens with this guy with the bloody neck?
Yeah, I need some conclusion. I need some closure.
Okay. All right.
Plus, we
So.
need our kill count. I need to know where we're at.
Okay, that's good. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn that.
In my solitude, you.